Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Wow, you're definitely more awake than I am. That's beautiful. Okay, since I switched the jokes around, now I have to remember which ones I already used. But I think I didn't use that the one from G.K. Chesterton. He was a big man, both in stature, but also as a person and in his tremendous way of telling stories and writing. Anyhow, at times he would invite fellow colleagues to dine with him. So there was this one opportunity where he had a colleague who was rather thin that he invited to eat with him. And when he met the colleague, Chesterton said, "From the looks of you, England must be experiencing a severe shortage of food." His colleague was taken aback a little bit, but then responded to him, "Yes, and from the looks of you, you would be the cause for it." Not bad, right? Not bad return. Okay, here's another one. Now, dads, brace yourself, okay? This was overheard at the beach. A boy asked his mom, "Mommy, may I go for a swim?" "Certainly not, my dear. It's far too deep." "Yes, but Dad is swimming out there in the deep." "Yes, son, but he's insured." There you go. Okay. Today, what do we want to focus on? I think we want to focus on gratitude. Gratitude for what God does in our lives, and gratitude for what we have heard in the scriptures about the reality of the two vocations that we want to always encourage and clarify the truth about it. Isn't that amazing? I didn't choose this gospel, okay? This is the regular gospel assigned for this Friday, and it is so startling. It was startling even for the very close followers of Christ. They all had grown up with this idea that marriage is for a time. And then if things arise, well, you just write a bill of divorce and there we go. Interestingly enough, our society has recaptured that notion. So much so that most people, you know, right now people say, "Oh yeah, the divorce rate is actually not as high as it used to be." That's only because less and less people get married. This idea that something could be for life, and that God could be sustaining it by grace. Our Lord had to make that clear to his own listeners and his own disciples. And he points to one fact, the beginning. He made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Wow, what a noble calling that is. And so then when his disciples hear about this challenge that our Lord places before them, and not only before them and that generation, but every generation that follows, then they said, "Well, Lord, then it's better not to get married if that's the case." Human wisdom, right? "Oh, wait a minute, Lord, that's way too high. The bar is way too high. Let's forget about that. Maybe it's better not to get married then." And can you see our Lord almost chuckling and saying, "Oh, thank you for getting to the point." Because that's the point we want to talk about those who have a calling not to get married to a human spouse. And so our Lord makes an even higher challenge, at least to the people of his day. "Not all can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been granted. Some are incapable of marriage for various reasons, but some will actually renounce the very great good of marriage for the sake of the kingdom." of heaven. Whoever can accept this ought to accept it. In these few words is stated the whole notion and definition of a celibate calling. It is not our doing. It must never be our doing. It must never be somebody else's doing. It always must be a free will decision. And so we are today, usually the Friday we dedicate to this tremendous calling that is very rare in the church. Less than 1% of all Catholics in the world live a celibate way of consecrated life. And yet, our Lord says, whoever can accept it ought to accept it. And that is where I am so proud of all the young people who are here who have a sensitive heart and conscience and are willing at least to give God a chance to speak. You know, today we have a reading. You may have not captured it as beautifully as it is when you read it in its fullness. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 12. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and He has been my Savior. With joy, you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. This, again, is assigned to this Friday, but it is also assigned to the votive mass of the Sacred Heart, because the Sacred Heart is, theologically speaking, the fountain of our salvation. And the water that gushes forth from the heart of Christ, pierced with the lance on the cross, are the sacraments and grace. Yes, this reading is not just a reading to me. It was very instrumental in a time when I had a vocational search, when I was very much confused about what my life should be. And many people may not know, but I was very close to getting married, being engaged. And yet at the same time, through various circumstances, also being attracted to prayer. Now, I was a guy who could never sit still for 10 minutes or longer, anywhere, for whatever reason. And when I made myself available through EWTN and Mother Teresa of Calcutta, the programs that we have with her, I made myself available to volunteer here at the Apostolate. That's already 28 years ago. And the person who dropped me off here was my fiancé. You know, my rector at the seminary, he always told us, if you can't be a good father of a family, you'll never be a good priest. Because many of the qualities a father of a family has, must have, you also have to have as a good priest. That became only clear to me much later. But when I was in this mode of searching, and believe me, it was not a relaxed searching. You know, sometimes we have to hit rock bottom before we really, really are open to God. We have to be jolted that we realize we cannot control life. As much as our society today wants to make us believe that is an illusion. And as much as society today offers young people opportunities to make thousands of dollars with playing video games in competition, so that a kid is tempted by the age of 14 or 16, quit school and just win prize monies by playing the dumb video game you already playing for years. Sorry, I call it dumb, but to me it is, because it does limit you to a world that's not real. You know, in video games, you lose, but the main character comes back to fight another time. Even he got shot 100,000 times. It's not real life. It's not how it works. So I had to experience a little bit that reality check that God gave me. And in this very difficult time, very, very challenging time, He gave me a scripture verse, Isaiah 12. And since I was so limited in my way of capturing spiritual things, He gave me one of the shortest chapters in the whole Bible, because I couldn't handle anything more. And this passage, if you really, really interiorize that God is my Savior, and because of Him, I am confident, not because of my own strength. Because of Him, I am unafraid. Because He is my strength and He is my courage. As I then joined into a more serious prayer life, and, once you start praying with the Catholic Corps, they spend hours in prayer. Me, who couldn't sit still for 10 minutes or longer, found myself sitting there for an hour and a half. Especially in front of the Eucharist exposed in the monstrance. And that's why I will never be convinced otherwise. Anyone can say whatever they want about the Catholic faith. You just commit to sitting in front of the Eucharist with an open heart and watch what will happen. Eventually your life will change. There is Jesus truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and He is after you. Whether you enter into the married vocation or the celibate, that's not the point. But He is especially after you when He has a plan for you to serve Him in this very unique vocation, namely to live for Him directly. So many of you, the only reason I share that is to just put you at ease. If you think you're called to marriage, that's nice. That's a beautiful thing. But make sure you discern it well. I know that there were times in my life when I was much younger, early 20s, where God was already knocking, but I brushed it aside very, very quickly. And so we never know exactly what is the plan for my life if I haven't put in that which it deserves. Just imagine you're going to spend the next decades following that decision you're going to make. Don't you want to make sure it is the right one? Obviously, God always has ways to make straight, crooked decisions. He always has a plan B. But He also has a favorite plan. He has a gift that He gave each one of us. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux was convinced. By the way, Bernard of Clairvaux entered a monastery with 33 members of his extended family. He convinced all of them to enter the monastery with him. He was so much a promoter of religious and celibate vocations that both mothers and fiancés were trying to shelter and hide those who could be touched by his words and run off without getting married. He was tremendously influential in that way. And he was convinced that one out of six is called to a celibate way of life for the kingdom of God. Now, we're not going to start counting here and then, try to help you make that decision for you. No, it has to come from within, as our Lord said. Some, because they have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Yes. And that renunciation must be very conscientious and must be very much tried and proven true. We have seen at the Vatican II a tremendous exodus of people who had chosen this way of life, entered a monastery or the like, or the priesthood, and they left. And to me, that is such a clear manifestation that they never entered of a free choice. Somebody was pushing too hard. Some expectations were placed upon these people that were not their own desire. And so we have to, in a very special way, be clear that this discernment has to be done by the person proper. Yes, it can be helped by other people, but in the end, it has to be between you and Christ. He is the one who calls. He is the one who gives the grace. He is the one who gives the courage, and He is the one who sustains a calling. So in my walk, that's exactly how it worked. The more I made myself available, the more graces I received. Yes, He used a very wisdom-filled priest to help me along, but in the end, the decision has to be from your heart. And it's not a decision that you're going to make for life. Some people come, oh, Father, I know I want to join the Catholic Corps, and I do want to stay here for my whole life. Okay, how old are you? Oh, I'm going to be 13, Father. That's good. How nice. And even if you're 18 and think that way, no, the Church has learned that this particular very special vocation needs to be tested over time. No such thing as running off and getting to be a consecrated soul because you have a beautiful inspiration. No, you will make a temporary commitment first, and then it will be renewed, and it will be evaluated, and time will be given to make sure it is true. And that is very wise. So I had to learn, too, that I am not having to decide my whole life at the beginning of my discernment just for the first 6 months or the first 2 years, and then we'll look at it again. And in the meantime, we allow God to work. With joy you will draw water. That means you will draw graces and the Holy Spirit at the fountain of salvation, the very merciful, sacred heart of Christ. And so we are addressing ourselves today in a special way to those who are 13 and older, 13 and up. If you would feel in your heart that there may be a vocation, that there may be a calling. What does the word vocation mean? It comes from the Latin vocare, to call. Now, you may all be familiar with cell phones these days. Some of you are very addicted to them, and I'm glad you hopefully were able to get rid of that addiction while you're here. But what's the deal with a cell phone? It works in itself if the battery is charged. You can do all kinds of things with it, but you can't call anyone or receive a call if it ain't connected. Has no signal. Oh, no Wi-Fi. Sorry, can't do anything for you. And sometimes we are like that. We just don't tune in to the signal that comes from God. And how can we call on God if we don't connect with Him? What use does God's calling have to us if we are not willing to connect and to answer? So that's what discernment is all about. And we want to promise to those of you who are 13 and older, if you feel that God may be calling you, that we will pray for you. And we will give you that prayer support because we have to nourish. Celibate vocations are like little delicate flowers, can be snuffed out very quickly. And the world is doing a heck of a job to do it. With all kinds of temptation and enticement, there hasn't been a society that is as sexualized as ours. You can't even look at a billboard. You can't look at an advertisement. Usually it always plays on our lower nature and the sense stimuli. So to really look into one's heart and see if God is offering a vocation, to be open to discernment, needs a very concrete decision. And we want to support that by prayer. We do pray for all those who signed our binders here during the summer. pray for them throughout the whole year. And it is also something that is very telling if you have the courage to stand up and be publicly seen that you are asking for those prayers, that you are actually open to discernment of a celibate vocation. Should you not be called to a celibate vocation, I want to read to you a little quote from Kirk Cousins. No, he's not a canonized saint. He actually plays football. And some of my brothers in the community are very happy to know that he now will be playing for the Minnesota Vikings, who are desperately longing to have a little trophy in their hands that has eluded them for a long time. But what does he say about his identity? Having a faith in Jesus Christ allows you to have an inner peace, a peace that passes all understanding. At the end of the day, I have an inner joy, and if I keep honoring him and having a relationship with him, he's going to have my back. The anchor of my life is Jesus Christ. My identity is based upon his love for me. At the foundation of my life is his truth, and one of my greatest desires is to live a life in a way that honors him. Now, I'm not going to canonize him, obviously, but I salute him. To be in the limelight, to be one of the very few top sports people of our day who gets a lot of attention, media attention, and a lot of human consolation, and a lot of financial resources that he can use. For him to stand up in public to say that takes courage. So let us at least be convinced to have that kind of courage, to let our lives truly be something that honors God. Now, I'm already rattling on for 22 minutes, so usually I do go into the life of St. John Paul II to help you young people have a little bit more courage to consider discerning what is the call that God has placed in your heart. And are you one of those few to whom he offers to renounce the great good of holy matrimony for the kingdom of God, so that you will yoke yourself and be completely possessed by Christ without the mediation of a human spouse? Maybe you remember John Paul the Great. Karol Wojtyła, born in Poland, had a very hard youth, experienced World War II, Nazi occupation, and then decades of communist dictatorship. He lost his mother, lost his older sister, lost his older brother. By the time of 20, he only had his dad left. By the time he was 22 years old, he also lost his father. But he was a tremendously talented person. He was an athlete. He was a gifted theatrical performer. He was an actor, playwright, was a philosopher. He could have entered into so many ventures of human activity. And yet, through all these years, he also was a faithful server at Holy Mass, and he had a deep spiritual soul, which he will say that his father actually was the key person instilling that in him. And so then he enters the resistance in Poland during World War II, and he enters the Rhapsodic Theater of Krakow. And then he comes across a layperson who introduces him to the Carmelite mysticism of St. John of the Cross. And so his soul starts to be nourished, so much so that he decides to enter the seminary. Then he becomes a priest. And here is a quotation that has captivated me tremendously. He said, "As a young priest, I learned to love human love. If one loves human love, there naturally arises the need to commit oneself completely to the service of fair love. Because love is fair, it is beautiful." Wow. This is a newly ordained priest saying that. How come he's not pursuing this fair love in matrimony? Because, you see, God himself is love. And therefore, if we do love human love, we can also serve it and bestow it in the celibate calling. At any rate, I don't want to go into this whole life of John Paul the Great, who ended up being one of the greatest popes Church has ever seen, but just to have it as an example. Yes, being called to marriage is a beautiful thing, but there are some of us who are called to forego that great good of marriage and to be open to testing a celibate vocation, serving God in this beautiful, very, very unique way of life. And so now I would like to ask my brothers and sisters of the Catholic Corps to come forward, and they have binders in which you are invited to put your name if you are 13 and up and feel that you are called possibly to pursue a celibate vocation. We do want to, again, assure you of our prayers, and we do pray also that you take that seriously and you make extra time. You know, without prayer, discernment is impossible. It's just like courtship. You like a lady, you like someone whom you want to get to know more. Well, if you stay in your room and say nothing and never spend time with them, how is that ever going to come about? The same thing is true with God. You need to spend time with him. And you need to make a little extra time available so that there will be a tremendous possibility of that little flower flourishing. And so now the deacon reminded me, you know, it really is, I have to say things when they come to my mind. Because I'm going to ask the music ministry to lead us into a beautiful little meditative song. But before I do that, I want to thank them. Thank them from the bottom of my heart to come here to lead the music for us. You know, they have to always be here earlier than anyone else, every morning, rain or shine. And they have so beautifully helped our music ministry. So I do want to thank you. And maybe we could express our gratitude to them. And so now I do ask you to please lead us into a little song that will help bridge that time in which young people will be encouraged. Yes, to have courage. The deacon preached on courage a lot. So have the courage to come forward if in your heart there's a little stirring of a celibate vocation. How about showing these young people that we do appreciate them and we thank you for your courage? Thank you so much. And please be assured of our prayers for you, and as you return to your seats now, let us continue this holy sacrifice of the Mass.